We Talk Podcast presents
What It Is. What It Do. Welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
You know, in the world of professional wrestling, it's going great. But outside the world of professional wrestling, out here in Alberta, it's not so great. We just want to send our thoughts and prayers to everybody up in Fort McMurray, Alberta, right now, as fires have them evacuating their city. So thoughts and prayers to any of them. And if any of them are just trying to find Savage anything or are using our podcast to try to forget about the horrid events, then we're glad we can help you forget about that. And whatever the case is too, make sure you donate to the Red Cross to help those that are in need right now in Fort McMurray.
The scary thing is, it looked like a movie set, Josh.
It looked like the apocalypse.
Yeah, it looked like the end of days. And that's scary because it's real life and it is... It's not close to us, but it's still close enough that it hits home.
Well, I mean, in Calgary right here, we have a fire ban now. You're not allowed to use fire in the city of Calgary currently.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. I mean, that's a, I don't know, it's a 9-10 hour drive up there.
Yeah.
But still, like, everyone's just being very precautious, and this is what happens, you know. The grass, I would even say today it was a particularly hot day here in Calgary, and I was even pointing out, like, oh, the grass is, it's really dry.
Yeah.
And for somewhere up here, like a Nose Hill, you know, you worry about that kind of thing happening up here in Calgary. Luckily, we're good, we're fine here, but the sights and sounds up there have just been pretty scary. So,
yeah.
Just want to send our thoughts with everybody up there.
Yeah. I definitely agree.
And, you know, there's no easy way to transition from such a thing, but we're going to try to do that, and we're just going to just try to move on to the world of professional wrestling, because this is a wrestling podcast, and we are going to hit on the Ryback.
Feed me no more.
So, we kind of, you and I had a long talk about Ryback on Sunday's pod for the Payback review, and I think a big part of that was, you know, he had a really good match against Kalisto.
Yeah,
but he was acting weirder than normal. He did the CM Punk entrance. He had the pre-showstopper belt.
Yeah,
and you know, I almost went in that match if he went balls to the walls. He's like, this is my last match. They can't do anything to me. And apparently there's been a contract dispute between him and the WWE going back to last June when he won the Intercontinental title. And he wrote a long, lengthy article. It's something – it was on his Tumblr, I believe. But there's a lot to run through. The gist of it is that he doesn't think he's getting paid fairly and that he thinks everybody in the company, from John Cena – down to Fandango, should be paid the exact same amount. That this is not a professional sport. This isn't the NBA. This isn't the NHL. There's no LeBron James. There's no Sidney Crosby. They're all equal because they're all winning and losing. The jobbers can't help the winners if they don't job out. And the winners get the highest selling merchandise, is what his quote is. And you know, this is starting a good debate, but I got to say that I disagree with a lot of what Ryback is saying, and that guys like John Cena, Randy Orton, those guys, Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, they're at the top for a reason, and they deserve to be paid more than a reason, because there is something to busting your ass more than other guys. And sometimes you don't always go to the top of the card, but for the most part, like Randy Savage says, and one of our favorite saying here, Joel, the cream always rises to the top.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I think that this has created an interesting conversation. There was one comment online particular stood out because Botchamania posted it and First Take It shared it. And there was one comment on that Botchamania talking about what Vince has bred in the locker room. And it's almost created this Mark like environment where you should just feel lucky to work for WWE. It's the other side of the coin where it's you feel lucky and it breeds contempt, and there's that jockeying for position, and there's a feeling that that some of these guys don't get paid as much as they should. Mm-hmm. Some of these guys get paid way too much. It's very interesting because this isn't in a lot of ways, it's not like professional sports, but in a lot of ways it is, if that mm-hmm. makes any sense. Like, Cena's not going out and winning big matches, but John Cena's going out and performing in big matches.
Well, the difference is, too, like, you have top players in the NBA, like LeBron, and they sell merchandise in the way of their brand deals with Nike, which I kind of look at. John Cena's brand is John Cena's brand, right? He's not signed to Nike, but when you buy his merchandise, that's his kind of deal, right? Is the WWE brand, much like LeBron is with Nike.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
No, and it does. It's very interesting because I think Ryback has some good ideas in his head. We kind of saw a little bit of it shine through. Like, playing up to the Punk thing in Chicago, as much as we hated it, he's the heel. What more does he want? Heel heat. He got a ton of it from doing that.
Well, he knows what he was doing. I didn't have a huge thing about it. I feel like he knew what he was doing. Only thing I was criticizing on that was if he really valued his job or not, and now that we know he obviously doesn't really care about his job.
Yeah. I think the Ryback is a mid... I think... It's hard because I can see why he values himself so greatly, because it's himself. If mm-hmm. you don't believe you're the best, then no one else ever will. And
exactly.
He's got to believe that. And there's a lot of internet backlash on this, of ha-ha, Ryback, ha-ha-ha. But if any of us else were in that position, and we love the WWE, we were in our dream job, we'd believe ourselves to be the best, and we want to be at that top. Mm-hmm. Ryback did not reach that top, and
he was very damn close.
Yeah, I still go back to that pop he got against Cena the night after WrestleMania 29.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a lot about, I don't want to reiterate a lot of this because you and I, we did big stuff in this, so go back and check our Extreme Rules podcast, because we hit a lot of the highs in it, from the ladder match, the Hell in the Cell, to the after WrestleMania, where he's had his ups and downs.
Yeah. I just think that Ryback, in a lot of ways, maybe overvalued what he brought.
I think so. I think, too, like, the thing is, like, this is the quote-unquote new era, which they make sure that we know about. And, you know, in many ways, it's a different era because you don't necessarily need the big guy. You know, we talked about, you know, guys like Baron Corbin and stuff, and they're there, but... It's more about the finesse guys in some way. You still have a few powerhouse guys. You know, Big Show, Kane always be there. Roman Reigns is the top of the heap of that right now. But it's more about those Sami Zayns, those Kevin Owens, those AJ Styles of the world. And, I mean, not to mention, you still, like, you know, this is a guy that's had a lot of trouble finding his spot in the card recently.
Yeah.
He's been on the pre-show twice. And that's not to mention those big four that we continually talk about. The three guaranteed to return in Seth, Randy Orton, John Cena, and then you have to add on top the eventual, in the next month or so, debut of Finn Balor, and then maybe down the road even a Samoa Joe and a Shinsuke Nakamura, that it really just seems like maybe this is the best thing for Ryback even too, is for him to go, because I don't know where he goes into the card when those five guys are added to the roster.
Yeah. And I think, like you and me had talked about, like I pitched that idea, which you can find on the Extreme Rules podcast with Ryback and ROH and becoming an indie buster.
Yeah.
I think he'd go over to Japan as well. I think mm-hmm. if he travels a little bit, because that's one thing I think he needs a little bit more worldly experience. And if he gets some of that, I think that helps him out.
Like, I actually kind of look at him in a way, you know, I can relate it again to sports, as you look at the Flames with Bob Hartley tonight, they relieve their coach of his duties, and the Flames just kind of said he got us as far as he could, and I think Ryback kind of just did as much as he could in the WWE. I don't think there's any more that he could have ever done.
Yeah.
I think that's the level he was at.
Yeah, and I mean, when you hit that point, like we saw it with Luke Gallows, he hit a certain point, had to go somewhere. And then he
Sorry to interrupt. You know who Ryback's career reminds me of a lot? Who? Is his Nexus counterpart, Wade Barrett.
Yes.
Where they both had they were at the top of the card for a good set of months, and it's like, okay, they're eventually going to give this guy the title, much like we thought with Wade Barrett, and they just eventually floundered, and they could never find their footing afterwards.
Yeah, they were in quicksand. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Yep, both of them will be gone from the company. Who's left from that?
From the Nexus? If he leaves? There's one person left. Do you know who it is?
Make Darren great again?
Oh, yeah, Darren Young was in that, too. So yeah. Darren Young and Heath Slater are the only two that are left.
Wow.
Would you have guessed that when the Nexus originally formed?
No. I thought Brian would still be going strong. And I think...
Do you count Brian as a Nexus, though?
Yeah, when it first debuted, I think that's the one image that I always have. Is
I would have thought Otunga would still be around, maybe. Actually, no, I wouldn't have.
No. He didn't have
that. If you want to count the second half of it, there's still Bray and Curtis Axel as well.
Yeah.
But the original attacking that night, I would have thought Justin Gabriel would have still been in the company. And I would have thought Wade would have been there for quite a while too. But
yeah.
He's a guy I think is going to kill it in Japan for a little bit. I think Wade Barrett will be back. I don't know if Ryback will ever be back.
Yeah. Especially with this contract and walking out, which I got to say it. It's very similar to someone else he's been mocking a lot lately.
Did he? Now, I read the letter, but I didn't. I kind of just skimmed through it and made sure I got the bullet points. Did he mention anything about the network pay in there?
No.
Okay. That was one of the rumors with Punk in it, was that he was mad about the network pay. But, you know, Punk had brought up all the pay stuff. And I got to wonder, too, like, you know, Punk, you show the comparisons to Punk. Punk didn't bring his really to a public forum. It just kind of... He said, she said bullshit. I think even if he re-ups with them, the fact that he blasted this shit in the public is already bad news for him.
Yeah, because WWE doesn't like this. So this is already kind of putting him behind the gate. I think he thinks this kind of puts him at a liberating, freeing moment. But I do think that this is a company that, almost 20 years later, reenacted the Montreal Screwjob in Chicago on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
This is a company that doesn't forget. So
no,
it's
I think maybe he's just thinking he can use this as leverage in some weird Ryback type of way.
Ryback rules,
and I just think he's sorely mistaken.
I don't think that this is going to work out the way Ryback thinks. Which is a shame.
No.
I don't like when these situations arise, because then it kind of, as a podcast, we kind of got to go, well, this guy's wrong. It feels a little eh.
And I will say, too, just a heads up, as you know, we release these podcasts on a Friday. Due to scheduling this week for the two of us, this is getting recorded on a Tuesday. And knowing our luck, something more is going to happen with this. I just want to put the asterisk on there that he could very well sign when we release this on the Friday.
Yeah.
But I still think even if he does, there's a lot of points in here that are worth discussing.
Yeah. Maybe this is all a rip on taking a rip from the CM Punk issues and turning it into a storyline for Ryback.
Maybe.
One never knows what... I swear. That it's not even just like throwing a little joke out there. I'm serious, because this company does these weird little things that think, oh, this will be perfect.
Well, there's one thing on SmackDown tonight especially that I found very weird.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Ryback rules finished?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've never been huge on Ryback. I've always thought he was a steady, nice hand. And I thought at times he could be a little bit moronic, but no, he was a big part of that, you know, that run that he had for those few years there. And I think, like, you know, you look at guys in the cutting list for you and I, he's near the top of it.
Yeah.
We've been saying it for a while. Like, he's up there. I would say Sheamus is getting near there. It's just kind of like you're just getting stale, and you just need to just go to greener pastures and kind of reinvent yourself. And I think Titus O'Neil is one of those guys. I think Sheamus is one of those guys, and I think that Ryback is one of those guys. And I want to get into SmackDown spoilers right at the beginning so we can just get it out of the way, because this really has nothing to do with Raw. Yeah. So we're going to talk about a quick SmackDown spoiler here. It's really the only thing from SmackDown was any relevance. So if you don't want to hear this, fast forward. But I guess we're releasing this on a Friday, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, everyone's going to already have seen, so...
So, Darren Young is with Bob Backlund?
Yep, make Darren great again.
So we had heard, we had heard around WrestleMania that, you know, the two of us had picked Darren Young to win the Battle Royale, because we had heard that they had big plans for Darren Young, and they had been shooting stuff for him and testing stuff out. And they even hinted on that yesterday on Live Audio Wrestling when they were talking about the Royale and Darren Young being in it. And, well, I guess he's going to get his thing then.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Trump thing in a way.
Which makes sense with the news today.
Yeah, Ted Cruz has dropped out. Woo! Yeah.
Should be fun.
Yeah. I think that was an interesting thing on SmackDown, and I also think the Roman Reigns AJ Styles, that's becoming a very good feud.
Yeah, that is the first time in a long time they've had a main event feud, and I've been like, I really actually care about this main event. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, I obviously have a rooting interest in it, but I just really enjoy the main event overall.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of dynamics to it. Who's going to turn on who? Roman got booed out of the building, and Roman, again, had some heel lines a little bit. He said that, I'm the champion, so I can go wherever I want. So it's kind of those arrogant little lines starting to seep through. And I think AJ comes out of this a bigger babyface than ever before.
I would have to agree with you, man.
Because I can't see them turning and having them be the Bullet Club. It's Finn.
Yeah, it's weird to see where they're going to go, because I would assume that Jericho and Ambrose are going to be done after this, because that feud is kind of nothing.
Yeah. You know,
it seems like they're just buying time to save Ambrose to get involved into this.
Yeah, because it's all going to come to a head, unless Bullet Club's four members...
But then, because we keep on hearing that there is going to be that Shield match now, right?
Yeah, Shield matches. So it's either going to be at SummerSlam, or it'll be War Games at Survivor Series.
Which means, where do you put the Elimination Chamber? Do you just not use it this year, or do you save that for SummerSlam?
You could use it for SummerSlam, but I think that they may not use it this year, go a year without it. Because it's nice every once in a while to have some of these matches kind of...
Can you still do the Bullet Club, but, like... I guess you can't do Bullet Club versus Shield without Roman Reigns, right? Because I was thinking, there's still something you can do with the Bullet Club versus the Shield, but have that main event of Cena and Roma we keep on hearing a hint at.
Yeah, I think this is all going to build towards eventual head. Mm-hmm. And involve the return of Seth Rollins, which is apparently soon.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exciting news.
Wait, as soon as he's finished, he's doing a film right now?
Yeah.
So once the film is done, I've heard that's when you're going to get Mr. Architect.
I can't wait. Please just... Part of me doesn't want them to, but the other part of me kind of wants them to give away a Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles on TV.
They will.
I want to see that match really bad.
Going back to the main event, it's built up so well. I think they did such a good job with Roman and AJ of just teasing it, right? Like, you really wanted to just see AJ, like, crack his skull through, but he's really staying as such a good guy and having so much guilt about doing such an act.
It really plays to his strengths. I think he's better as a babyface. Then again, his Japan stuff with...
He's really good at both.
Yeah, breaking necks, cashing checks.
Yeah.
I think that he can play both roles, but he's doing a phenomenal job as a babyface.
No pun intended.
The pun...
I think there's so much money in him as a babyface. I don't think he's at the Daniel Bryan level just yet, but I think he can get to that Daniel Bryan level.
Yeah. He is, in a lot of ways, he's the ultimate underdog, but... Some of the moves he does, you're like, you can't really look at him as the underdog because he just finds a way to always hit that big move.
Yeah.
But again, we had another six-man tag. I don't know if it was a dark match or not for Survivor Series, but again, we had a six-man tag.
Usos SmackDown, you mean?
Yeah, on SmackDown. Usos interfered. They didn't let AJ break up the pin. Roman got another pinfall. Roman's going to... See, and this is one thing where I'm like, are they going to put the title on AJ?
I wonder.
Like, you know how they like to play hot potato with the strap.
Well, I think, like... So, like we said, we saw the start of the one big feud with Steph and Shane, and I liked the teases in that. I liked Steph kind of playing coy, and I liked what Dean did with her in that segment, and that's slowly going to build up to Hunter, right?
Yeah.
And then I think this Bullet Club one, I'm cool like this running for a while, because there's a lot in this, and just the way that AJ and Roman, this is the best opponent Roman's had for himself since Brock, I think.
Yeah, Brock and Brock.
It's like they just worked off each other so good.
Oh, yeah. And I think that the promos are fine between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
The less Roman says, the better. Less AJ says, the better.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, let's be honest. Neither one of these are great promo guys. And that's, I think, what makes it work for both of them, right? Because there's no one really outshining the other person because they're both just equally blah on promos. But both have their strengths in the ring.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see what happens at Extreme Rules. I think we still get more shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
But... I'm excited for the main event of Extreme Rules. I'm looking forward to the main event.
I am too. It's an Extreme Rules one, and I think that's maybe when we're going to get Phineas to come out.
Yeah, Phineas and Ferb.
No Ferb.
Aww.
Maybe another time, but just the old Phineas. Yeah, it's just the power spot too. I like that. That's the kind of rum we've been talking about, right? Like. He's just an ass kicker, and I really like that tone from what they've done with him in that form. It's really too, like, every title, once again, after Raw, just feels like, yep, I care about that title, that title, that title, that title. I care about every title right now going into Extreme Rules. It's 2 weeks away, and I care about every one of the title matches, and I'm actually not sure who's winning any of the titles. So when was the last, like, at Payback, I'm like, okay, well, Roman's winning for sure. Going into Extreme Rules, I could see AJ winning it.
Yeah. It's another month that Roman's had the title. I don't think he does because they ultimately want to have that Roman Cena match.
Mm-hmm.
But they've created that thought that they could put the title on AJ Styles. They could put it on AJ. And it just creates a lot of fun because you do have some of those Roman fans that are like, yeah, get this internet midget loser and beat him up. And people are enjoying that. And then you have real wrestling fans going, I'm just enjoying this because both of them genuinely dislike each other.
I think, you know, we had our, about 2 months ago, we had our, like, 3-minute warning on Roman Reigns. I'm no problem with Roman Reigns for about a month now. I've liked everything he's done. He's done everything to his strengths. If he stays champion for 6 months, I have no problem with it. I'm an AJ fan first, so I prefer AJ to win the title, of course, but I have little problem with Roman Reigns and anything that he's done in the last little bit.
Yeah. And I mean, you kind of sit there and you're enjoying that. As long as Roman's got a good guy across from him, then going back to that Ryback thing, it takes two to make it work. And that's what's happening right now. It's taking both of them to make this work. And it just proves what Wrestling Observer said last year. AJ Styles is the best wrestler in the world.
Yep, I think the best spot I've seen from him so far was that phenomenal forearm into the table. That was unreal. And I don't know what it is about with Roman and AJ. They just have this, it's that base too, you know? It's like in the ladder match, they'd always have Mark Henry or Big Show in that. Sometimes you have the smaller guy working with that littler guy, and Roman is just so good at, I think Roman is one of the best at taking big moves.
Yeah.
Cena was really good at that too. Cena was very good at taking people's moves. And Roman is very good at it.
Yeah, he gets what needs to happen to make it look good. And AJ's great at taking that Superman punch.
I think Roman, you know, I think there's still people that are just going to hate him to hate him.
Yeah.
But I think you and I have slowly built up an appreciation for Roman Reigns and what he's been able to do.
Yeah, it's slow, small.
I mean, and you know, you and I have said for the longest time, it can't be easy for the guy. Like, everybody hates you.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine being the champion and coming out there and all you're doing is busting your ass every single night.
Yeah.
And everybody hates you, no matter what you do, good, bad, everyone's going to hate you.
And funny enough, ratings went up with him as champion this week.
Yeah. I think that's also, too, and I mean, that's a tough week. You know, you face two big NBA playoff games. You face, you know, had to go head-to-head with LeBron, and then you had to go against you had to go against the Spurs and the Heat, not to mention an NHL game and, you know, baseball that's going on. And Dancing with the Stars, for some reason, is the highest-rated show because you have those football players and Von Miller, and you have UFC fighter Paige VanSant in it. So you have some combat fans that are going to be watching Dancing with the Stars, for example. But those ratings are going up, and I think it's because people are starting to see certain things in the product that they didn't see before, and it's about growing, you know? Like, that's just, this is what you and I had been saying when people were like, oh, the ratings are down because of guys like AJ or KO. Well, it goes up because people get to see those guys more, and like, oh, well, I can't miss this, and I can't miss that, and it becomes infectious.
Yep. Oh, definitely. And you're starting to see that even though Raw wasn't exactly spectacular, it still had moments that were enjoyable, and things are starting to progress forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, for sure, that's the one thing that you always want with everything this week. I mean, you had Eric Young debut on NXT this week.
Yeah.
And you're seeing that starting to move forward.
He's going to be a player coach, and I've heard Bobby Roode will be debuting eventually, and he'll be taking the same role. Bobby Roode is not meant for the main roster either.
Which is perfectly okay. Sometimes you need those guys that are there to do this, to work with the younger guys, have feuds, win the NXT title here and there, to pass it along to someone else, and have a nice job that you're not owed $100,000 by the end of your tenure, and you can just go work, and you can work with some friends, and you can have some fun.
Like, in all honesty, would you rather work for NXT or TNA right now?
NXT.
Yeah, and if you're an Eric Young or Bobby Roode, I'm sure Ring of Honor or Japan would be phenomenal. It'd be great, but, you know, I think there's something about getting that WWE thing over your belt, and who knows that maybe they could be part of an Andre Battle Royal or a Royal Rumble or something.
Yeah, there are little moments that you could have for some of these guys, because Vince always pays loyalty.
Yeah.
Always. So if you remain loyal to Vince...
We're seeing it from R-Truth every time he's on the TV.
Yeah, so... You stay loyal to that man, he will pay you back.
By the way, did you know that R-Truth's win was only the second time R-Truth has ever won on Raw? I mean, Tyler Breeze.
Really?
Yeah. First win of the year on live television, and only his second win since coming onto Raw.
Ugh. I think that does kind of go back to that Ryback thing where he didn't talk about building certain guys up.
But that's also, you know, we talk about it all the time with stupidity. Like, this is a guy that, you know, he had a chance, but he left the stage early. It's like when people say, oh, why haven't you pushed Jack Swagger? It's like, well, you know, this is what happens when you fall asleep on the job.
Yeah.
Can't be doing those kind of things.
Yeah, there's it does go back to that, but there's certain things that you just can't do, and you're going to get punished, and sometimes you just got to take it, and then move forward from there.
It could be like a whole new look for Tyler Breeze now, I don't know, who knows?
Yeah, well, I do like R-Truth's selfie stick.
it's very unique.
I think R-Truth, in a lot of ways, you will kind of vaguely remember at different points between Little Jimmy and just little things that he's done here and there.
That's talking about loyalty right there, is R-Truth.
Yeah, oh, well, 100%. That's why he's on Camp WWE.
Yep.
Which is a fantastic show, and you should check out on the WWE Network.
I'm actually surprised. I thought there'd be another one after Raw this week, and there wasn't.
Well, we gotta wait.
Yeah, Edge and Christian was, it's been down the last 2 weeks for me, too.
Okay. Did they do a Punk thing?
They did. They said things they won't talk about. So they did Edge and Christian Season 2. They did Kurt Angle's WWE Hall of Fame chances. And then they said, will we talk about CM Punk's UFC debut?
How'd that go?
And they said, of course not, because he's never going to have it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know. They might be right. They might be wrong. I think he does.
These little things, as a CM Punk wanting him back to WWE fan, you look at those and be like, nope, there's another one. Yeah. That's another thing he's not going to forget.
Yeah, it's just going to be little check marks where he has like a little list of reasons to go back versus reasons not to go back, and he's just starting to check things off on his little box. Like, nope, 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 nope.
And they also, speaking of boxes, they're planning on having a box set for him. For CM Punk. And I don't know if that's the best idea. I mean, if he gets paid for it, I'm sure he doesn't give a crap.
No. I really, really hope it's not the self-destruction.
They won't do that. They've learned their lesson.
I hate to keep going back to it, but Montreal Screwjob, Chicago.
They won't do a self-destruction to CM Punk. I would shave every part of my body if they did. There, it's on wax. Yeah.
We have it on audio.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I
do like some of the documentaries they have, though. Like, I like the one, Kane one. It's just going to be so good.
I'm so excited for that.
Just the Lex one I'm interested in. I think there was a Goldberg one in there.
Ooh.
The Lex one will be interesting because we haven't seen much of, like, the Stephanie one. Who, once again, just segueing now to this other stuff that's going on. How great is Stephanie McMahon?
She is the perfect foil for Shane O'Mac.
She's just... Stephanie has just really never been bad for me. She's always so good on the microphone.
It's the Vincent Kennedy in her.
Yeah, it has to be. She's so good. Yeah. She drives me crazy how good she is.
And she just continues to help further the storyline between her and Shane,
mm-hmm.
which, as much as we're going to complain about, it's there, it's happened. The Undertaker match doesn't matter. Let's just focus on what we do have.
You know, this is the thing. If you're going to focus on certain things in WWE, it's going to hold you on, then you're never going to be able to watch the programming. Because, I mean, if you want to focus on that, you can focus on the Lockbox. You can focus on so many little things. I'm just going to say this is where we are now, and I'm just not going to come back to anything. Because if I do, I'm going to drive myself crazy. Yeah. And it's not worth driving myself crazy.
Over a wrestling product.
Yep, I'm sure there's little things that, like, you know, you can look at stuff with Lana and Rusev that'll drive you crazy. But it's just not worth coming back, and I'm sure Stephanie has said some things that if you came back to it, it would drive you crazy, but it's not worth doing it.
No, I wholeheartedly agree. And speaking of Ruru, one of our favorites here.
Are we done on Stephanie and Shane?
I think we're done with Stephanie and Shane, for now.
Okay.
But Rusev... He's going for the U.S. title.
Yeah, he is. It's everything's. It's reset, Rusev, and I love it.
You just see him on Snapchat through Lana. You see him on Instagram, and you just see him with a gun and Dolph Ziggler super kicking him in a movie, and you just can't help but like the guy. So, If this is a reignited Rusev that can go further, I say go for it because you're short on heels. Might as well run with the Bulgarian Brute, and Lana can be at his side.
And, I mean, we've been saying, too, that, like, we just needed Del Rio and him to be free for the longest time, and we're finally getting them free. And, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I was rooting for Zach in that segment, of course. But a small part of me is like, yeah, you know, it'd be cool if Zach won this, but let's be honest, Kalisto is not facing Zack Ryder.
No. Sadly, no, but, I mean, Rusev versus Kalisto, I think, will be a good match.
I think it's going to be a great match. I think it's going to be a hidden good match. I think, early prediction, I think Rusev is going to get that win.
Yeah. Is this... No, I think Cena goes straight to the main... I was going to say that, is there anything more with the U.S. title and John Cena with that U.S. DVD?
You mean it's the day after Memorial Day, Joel.
Rusev challenges. Hey, Rusev gets
over Rusev
Cena.
No, Rusev is like just talking shit, and then sets where Cena comes out, and then you just have Cena beat Rusev, and that's the only reason that we have Ruru with the title right now, to get that title back into John.
It's a moment for Rusev. I hope they have Rusev go over, but I could see it. But I think ultimately Cena's earmarked for the main event.
My thing is, if he's earmarked for the main event, I just don't know how he fits in with all this Bullet Club and AJ Styles and Roman Reigns. Like, he doesn't make any sense with any of that stuff.
Yeah, it's you've now kind of booked it one way. It's going to be hard to kind of, unless you do this where it's AJ versus the Bullet Club for a little bit.
That's the only way I can think it goes, and I think you just kind of. But then my thing is, like, where do you put, like, a Finn? Okay, I know you were put a Finn, but where do you put the Deans and the Seths of the world? Because I don't think Seth is facing Hunter anymore, unless he's going to be his fill-in to face Hunter. Seth, like, Shane gets Seth to fight Hunter for him.
It's possible. Like, there's. And here's the nice thing about this product right now. There's so many open doors where they could go here, they could go here, they could do this, they could do that. And none of them sound like terrible ideas right now. We'll see how they write it.
I mean, we've been talking about this. I'll keep on throwing it in. We still don't know where the hell Randy Orton could go in all this.
He could be part of the Make Darren Great Again. Who knows?
I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I think that means that I don't know what the deal for Titus is then.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some cuts coming, and there's going to be some people that...
There's no way they cut Sheamus before Ninja Turtles, though.
No, they're not. They're keeping him for Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, like, where does he go? Where does he put Sheamus? I like the idea of just having him and Barrett as a tag team. That was, like, a really good idea. It just made sense for both guys, and now you've kind of lost that card.
Yeah... It's kind of gone the wayside. But, I mean, yeah, it would be handy to have another tag team, especially with Enzo and Cass out. And Enzo got a really good pop on SmackDown, so...
Yep.
He's
they're calling him Colin Cassidy right now. They're not calling him Big Cass.
Oh, wow. I thought they were... Because I'd heard that they were going to take Enzo Amore and just call him Enzo, and Big mm-hmm. Cass, Colin Cassidy is just Big Cass. So
they're calling him Colin Cassidy right now.
Probably because he's on his own. But hey, this is good for... If there's any silver lining, this means Big Cass kind of gets to stand on his own a little bit.
I'm surprised because I was wrong. I had thought that Big Cass was just going to get to do his own... was not going to do his own thing. He would just kind of have to wait for Enzo.
Obviously, they have some faith that... And it also keeps Enzo and Cass relevant. And it also creates that pop when... Enzo, say, getting beaten down by the Vaudevillains, and you hear the music again for some strange reason, and Enzo comes running down.
I think you can also maybe possibly work out something where one of you just have Enzo come out for the next pay-per-view, and he does the stick and everything like that. They face the Dudleys, and Enzo just never gets into the match.
You could do that. Cass.
Yeah, Cass takes all the damage. But Enzo just kind of can still do the shtick and everything. Because that match, you know, we now know the way it was supposed to book was what everyone thought. Dudley's come down, interfere, and the Vaudevillains go on, and they would have faced the New Day. And it still sounds like they're going to face the New Day anyways.
Yeah, which is okay, which I'm cool with. And I think that they're building towards Dudley versus Enzo and Cass anyways by Dudley's making fun of Enzo for his injury. Which is okay, which I'm fine with, and...
He's fine, so it's, you know, I don't want to say it's just a concussion with everything we know about concussions now, but it's, you know, he's okay, and since it is, you know, simply a concussion, it's not a spine injury, he'll take his concussion and hopefully heal up as much as you can heal up the brain. I mean, it sucks just even talking about it, because, you know, with everything we know about concussions, it's hard to even just like, oh yeah, he'll just heal up. It's hard to even, like, say statements like that.
Yeah, it's definitely... We live in a very, very different world these days. Unless you're in Jerry's world, then you don't know about concussions at all. But I think that Enzo gets better. He's always going to be a tag team guy. I don't see him being in any crazy spots, any crazy moments that will be like, oh, God, why'd you do that? So... I think he'll still have a good career moving forward, but that concussion thing's always going to hang over his head. Look at Corey Graves.
Yeah.
I hope that Enzo recovers. And
the only good thing for Enzo is, I mean, let's be honest, I'm just saying worst case scenario, if he got another concussion and they're like, okay, you can't do this anymore. The one good thing for him is Enzo's not a great worker. Let's call a spade a spade. He's fine.
Yeah.
He can be still a great all-time manager.
Oh yeah, he could, and maybe that's where you go. He has that look of a kind of a manager that you could use, and he has the mic skill. He could help Big Cass out in a lot of ways because you obviously you keep them together. It would be a shame, but it'd be at least you know that you've stopped the concussion problem before it got too bad, and you still gave Enzo a career.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it was a decent Raw. It sounds like SmackDown just kind of paint by numbers once again. And NXT, we're going to get to see Eric Young, so that's going to be great.
And Shane McMahon's on a podcast.
Yeah, he's with Mick Foley, though. I didn't know
Weird,
Mick
but
Foley had a podcast. Did you?
I don't know.
Apparently, Mick Foley has a podcast. I wonder.
What are you gonna call it? What would you call a Mick
Bang
Foley one?
bang.
Yeah, bang bang. Trying to think of something with Socko.
I don't think anything with soccer. Would it be something like a hardcore or something like hardcore radio or something like that? I don't know.
Mick could probably do a decent podcast and tell because he did his stand-up schnick.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting because apparently Shane McMahon's gonna tell all.
And he's gonna tell why he left. I wonder, like, if why you didn't get Austin because Austin's gonna ask harder questions.
Yeah, I think they try to. There's
Is there
certainly.
a tear in the relationship again?
No, I haven't heard anything. Like, I even heard that before everything happened on Payback, Brett and Hunter had a 30-minute conversation.
Really?
Yeah. And I heard
Interesting.
that the biggest thing with Brett was he just wasn't recovering well after the wrist surgery, and that made grumpy Brett grumpier. So
Yeah.
that's why that was the way it was. So I'm like, that makes sense.
Well, literally, he talked to Hunter, and Hunter's kind of like, "This is what we're doing." Because I had heard that Brett was asked beforehand. They didn't like do it to shock him. They asked him. They went to him directly beforehand. So that makes me, as just a Bret Hart fan, a lot happier that you know he's like. In a way, it's kind of making you smile because like he obviously just doesn't care anymore. And
He
none of
thinks
us
he's
like
moved
we should.
on.
We just. I just think we all just. We're just over it. We're sick of it.
What else was I gonna say? Speaking of hearts, it's Stu Hart's birthday, or it would have been Stu Hart's birthday today.
How old?
I don't know, but he would have been old. I think 101.
Yikes.
So yeah, but he's. If we talk about Bret, we wouldn't have Bret Hart without Stu Hart. We wouldn't have a lot of things without Stu Hart.
No, we wouldn't have.
So I just
I, what did
want
you think of the whole, speaking about the hearts, what did you think about the whole Charles Robinson thing?
Little Nate. I called it.
Yep, you did.
I said it's Little Nate because I remember the video of him walking out in the robe and doing the strut. Meh, it's there. It's not something I would sit there and go, "Ooh, this is wonderful." It's there. I kind of wait for this to get wrapped up and move on to the next program for Charlotte.
Yeah,
Because
I think I don't know if Natty wins anymore now.
yeah, no,
I think the moment was there and they blew it.
yeah.
You had the chance to have the moment with Uncle Brett and her together, and I guess the moment was the sharpshooter moment, which I'm sure that's something Natty will really cherish. I think just selfishly as, you know, wrestling fans, we kind of just wanted that moment with the guy that just survived cancer. But, you
Yeah.
know, whatever. Whatever works, and if Natty's happy with it, then we're all happy with it.
Yeah.
Also, just gotta criticize Chris Jericho. Like, he's been great on Twitter. Like, I don't get why he just does stupid things like, "I'm not coming back," when he's on all the tours. He's advertised for everything.
He does not. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Punk in regards
Yeah.
to social media.
He was pretty great what he did to Brock Lesnar guy, though, I will say that. And it was a tough day for Brock Lesnar guy, and he, you know, he took a lot of heat today after he had some tweets about, "Oh, I'm stuck in the middle again," and Jericho called him out, and then a lot of people ran memes of him, like calling him an idiot and stuff like that. And you and I have said like we're not too big of fans of these these kind of Frank the Clown, Brock Lesnar guy. Sign guy's not as bad about it, to be honest. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, he's just there to watch.
But like guys like Brock Lesnar guy and Frank the Clown think they're bigger stars than they really are.
Yeah. Like, you and me aren't.
And same with the guy that wears the suits.
Yeah.
Those are like the three ones, and there was that documentary. I still kind of want to see it.
I'm interested.
Because I'm just interested, too, like, how do these guys afford all this? Like, how do you afford just to go to WWE events all the time?
Yeah.
And it's like, as much as I love wrestling, and maybe you're different, but Joe, would you want to do, like, go to as many live events as they do all the time?
No, I get it.
Yeah.
It would drive me crazy.
It's pretty crazy that they can do as many as they do.
Yeah, like, I couldn't do it. But, hey, good on them. They get to travel around the world watching pro wrestling. And, you know, like, I don't think if you and me went to a wrestling event, we'd be like, hey, we have a podcast. We talk about pro wrestling, so we know what we're talking about. We're just here watching. We're just going to sit in the corner and be quiet. Don't worry about us. We'll get bumped and chanted.
I think you need to get, like, that kind of stuff built up naturally. I look at the guys from, like, What Culture, for example. And I think they build up a nice little fan base naturally for themselves.
Yeah. And it's just fun to watch. Like, I very much enjoy what they bring. And I don't think that they try to put themselves over. They just try to have fun. I think there's a fine line between having fun and trying to put yourself over. And I think there's certain fans that try to put themselves over a little too much, and there's other ones that don't, and you can enjoy the ones that don't.
You're not part of the show. You're just there to watch.
Yeah.
And if you're a standout, all right, cool. But they've never done, like, WWE's never, the only time that they've really ever, like, sign guy, people know, it's like, oh, there's the red hat guy, right?
Yeah.
But no one, like, WWE's never acknowledged, like, oh, it's Brock Lesnar guy, or it's Frank the Clown. They never acknowledge them.
Yeah. They
and, of course, you're going to get pictures with these guys if you go to enough events. You're going to see them at hotels and everything eventually.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted a weird dynamic with some of these guys.
Yeah, it's a very interesting world.
Guys like Frank the Clown get lucky enough because then he ends up dating Mick Foley's daughter, too. Like,
and that's kind of an instant end to the business.
So, like, he's in a different... I think when he gets it, then he gets his buddies, you know, then they're really in because, oh, we know Mick Foley because our buddy's dating Noelle Foley.
Yeah.
And I got to wonder how much is Frank the Clown is probably going to be in that Holy Foley reality show.
Yeah,
which I wonder if that will have Brock Lesnar guy and some of those other guys part of that documentary.
Yeah, it's totally possible. It'll be interesting to see. It's definitely I think you and me have really taken a step back and look at wrestling fans in general. Some are very interesting people.
I think some people just take wrestling far too seriously.
Yeah.
You know, some of the stuff that we see online, you know, it's just bizarre to me sometimes, and, like, you know, people get way too serious about it. I mean, some people are like, well, you have a wrestling podcast. Well, you know, we have a steady platform we've built between Fresh Take and Stick Boy that, you know, it's just like with Grantland or with The Ringer. It's like, well, you know, we might as well add a wrestling podcast to this. We have people that like wrestling, so let's talk about wrestling.
Yeah,
more or less how I look at this. I don't look at it as, oh, we're such dire wrestling fans that we have to do a wrestling podcast.
Yeah, and I think we kind of look at a lot of, like, when we're doing this, I think it's a lot of just kind of back and forth. It's kind of this, it's like you're driving and we're just talking about pro wrestling. Like, it's a little more structured for a podcast, but it's just us talking more or less. That's what we think, and it's there.
Yep, I agree, man.
So, funny line from SmackDown taping. Xavier Woods opened the show with a promo about Kofi Kingston not being there and saying that he's dealing with family business because of his action 9 months ago. Kofi Kingston just had a kid. So, you know, it's I enjoy the New Day.
I loved what Big E did.
Yeah.
Did you see it or hear about it yet?
No, I did not. Because
he admitted on live air that he messed his lineup. He's like, I messed my lineup. I'm going to do that again. And people, he worked it so well that it worked. He's just, you know, you're over when you can be like, yep, I fucked up, but it's okay. I'm gonna get it right.
Yeah, and the crowd
and the crowd just bought every single second of it.
How long before they have to put the New Day in a main event situation? Because we're seeing some teams.
I don't think it can happen anymore because the teams that are coming
are big.
Are bigger. The Bullet Club is bigger. The Shield is bigger. The Authority is bigger.
Yeah. I think eventually, because Xavier and Big E have said they want to put the big title on Kofi. That's their goal.
It's never going to happen.
Yeah, I think out of all three of them, I think Big E has the best chance for it.
Yeah, I get what you want to do for Kofi, because he's been there the longest, and Kofi's had every title, I think.
Yeah.
He's had the U.S., he's had the IC, he's had the tag team multiple times. Yeah, Kofi's had them all. I think you can build up to, I mean, it'd be a nice little program in between to get, you know, Kofi versus Roman, and have kind of the New Day in there. Like, it's not a bad program to build it up. Kofi's never really had his title shot. The biggest feud Kofi's ever had is the one with Randy and that infamous MSG spot.
And the stupid. That's...
Yeah, well, that's what all that was, right?
Yeah.
It
could be another little tidbit. Sin Cara lost his mask. Like, he lost his mask during a match with Corbin and had to quickly scramble to put it back on.
But this was tapings, right?
Yeah.
So it should be fine.
Yeah, but it's still one of those things where it's live TV and things can happen, and they're not always what you want. Tamina Snuka had to have surgery for torn ligaments.
Yikes.
So, Naomi's without her partner? That's right?
Yeah, but when was the last time Naomi really did anything?
Yeah, it's kind of dried up. And I think our WWE talk has kind of hit its eventual end.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to say this right now, and I know I'm going to jinx this, but... You know, the Ryback stuff was the biggest news. It's been a pretty overall blah week. But again, we're recording this on a Tuesday. We're hoping to God when you hear this on a Friday and you have it on your weekend listening, that there's nothing else. If there's anything, we'll try to scramble. But like I said, our schedules this week are just bonkers.
Yeah, it's not going to be...
Too many Civil War premieres.
Yeah. But I did want to hit on one thing before we go. It's
for sure.
It's not WWE related. It is ROH. I want to hit on just the main event because that's what we...
No, let's talk about the card. There's a few good matches on the card.
Well, let's pull up Global Wars. I think this will be something that eventually we will sit down and watch.
I think this is something that I think we'll definitely talk about next week.
Yeah. I think there could be some definitely some moments. But I was just thinking, you know, we were just at Chicago, and now we're going to have another big moment at Chicago.
Yeah, and I watched Ring of Honor television this week. It's one of the scenes that was like, it was on, so I checked it out. And they have done a great job of building this Colt Cabana and this Jay Lethal feud up, and I think Colt Cabana is going to win.
Yeah. So let's start with The Addiction, Christopher Daniels, and Frankie Kazarian versus Cheeseburger and Jushin Thunder Liger in a tag team match.
Oh, Cheeseburger.
Yeah. Jericho loves
him. I'm going to throw Daniels and Kazarian.
Yeah, I'll go The Addiction. Don't know the storyline, but, you know, Cheeseburger eats the pinfall because it's Jushin Thunder Liger.
Eats the pinfall. You're funny, Joel.
Every once in a while. So now we also have New Japan ROH Bullet Club, Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Roa. I'm gonna butcher names. Versus Alex Shelley, Chris Sabian,
Kushida. The returning Motor Machine Machine Guns. Are you not shocked they got that licensing?
Yeah.
Because they couldn't be Kazarian and Daniel's gonna be bad influence, but they get to be Motor City Machine Guns?
It's an interesting land.
They must own the license to it, and how TNA gave that up, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's TNA, so...
Because I'm wondering, could they go to WWE and be Motor City Machine Guns?
They could.
I don't think they would, but I'm just curious.
It's totally... I think it was Chris Sabian said WWE's never contacted them.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. I don't know if that's just them working or them just kind of playing the... I think it's them playing the cards.
Because Chris Sabian's a great hand.
Yeah. And also on their team is Kushida and Matt Sydal, Evan Bourne, You gotta go with the Bullet Club.
Yeah, you always go with the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
When in doubt, Bullet Club it out.
You have... Oh, God. I like New Japan. I enjoy watching it, but some of these names kill me.
Do you want to just go to the main events then?
Yeah, because as much as I'm going to try, and I really want to do well, but there's two matches I actually want to hit on. So we have the Four Corner Survival Match for the number one contendership to the ROH World Television Champion. Oh, you have a number one contender for your television? Oh, that's interesting. Anyways, it is ACH versus Adam Page versus Dalton Castle, which has grown on me. Him and the boys Fanning, interesting gimmick, and Roderick Strong. You got to think Roderick Strong dropped the title, so it makes sense for him to go back.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with people. I don't know much about some people in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
I get a chance to check out it every once in a while, and really Dalton and Roderick Strong are the only major familiar names for me.
Dalton would be interesting.
So I'm just going to go with Dalton.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't give a full analysis thing because I just don't have enough on that.
And the main event, Colt Cabana returning after 5-year absence from ROH.
Do we see a certain chick magnet, a certain Chicago-made individual?
I would not be shocked. It'd be a cool moment.
Yep.
And I mean, Colt's his friend, so you got to think they would want him to be there. And I mean...
What have you had? I doubt it. In a dream scenario, Punk comes out, gives him the GTS, and then
I thought about that last night. I was sitting there like, ooh, I wonder. Things don't work out in
I think the best you're going to get is Punk holding up his arms.
Yeah, which would be a cool moment and be cool for... I think that ROH crowd would enjoy the hell out of it. But
for sure.
Jay Lethal has had a really good one run with the title. And, you know, we've always been talking about, is he going to drop it?
Is he the next one to go to the Fed?
Yeah, is he going to be the guy to move up the list of guys that are in NXT? His reign has been for 319 days. He's defended the title 21 times. He's been a fighting champion. He's had a longer reign than CM Punk. He had a longer reign than Seth Rollins.
Brian?
No, not long as Brian. Brian.
Not as long as Joe.
No, Joe is 645.
AJ's?
Days. AJ never won it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. AJ never won. From what I remember, before he signed with...
I thought he did.
He did not win it. Hmm. I have a list of... There are 22 champions in the history of ROH, and...
I thought he won some kind of, like, super championship then.
I think so, but he... That's one I'm not sure on. He never won it.
Interesting. That's, like, one of the major ones he's never had then.
Yeah. And Jay Lethal defeated Jay Briscoe.
He was the pure wrestling champion.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what that is, and it's retired.
Yeah. But he never won the big one.
No, he never won the big one. He won it. Doug Williams won it. Who I really liked Doug Williams when he was in TNA.
Yeah.
I thought they could have done much more with him. But Joe won it. Jay Lethal has won it. Brian's won it. Nigel McGuinness has won it, and John Walters, who's RJ Brewer.
Okay.
So more or less, all respect to Mr. RJ Brewer, but pretty much everyone else in that has made their name in wrestling.
Yeah, so that's usually a pretty good mark of a championship. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Jay Lethal has had one of the... He's in the top 10 for the reign of ROH champion. He's held it longer than CM Punk. He's held it longer than Michael Elgin.
Tyler Black.
Yeah, Roderick Strong, Adam Cole.
I just think it makes sense for Cole to get it and get that moment.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you. And
the only thing for me is, how long does Cole hold the title for? Because I like Cole Cabana, but I don't know how long I want him as my main champion.
Yeah, I think you have it for a little bit, but then it's always that he's held it. He probably holds it for a couple months and then drops it to your next top heel, thus makes it really.
It could even be a transition to get it to a guy like a Moose, for example.
Yeah.
You know, and then you kind of have that you don't have to do the Moose and Jay Lethal match. You can save it. You'd be like, well, you never beat me, blah, 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 and they kind of build up to that if you wanted to.
And it totally depends on what Jay Lethal does, if he's leaving or not, because you don't know.
We don't know. I mean, the Rumbles have been pretty quiet, to be honest.
Yeah, so this Sunday, May 8th, will be an interesting time for in the land of ROH and NXT.
It will be.
All right.
All right, that's about it. Until next time, cheers.
We got to see AJ Styles, Doc Gallows, and Karl Anderson come up to the ring together, and the closest thing we'll ever have to Bullet Club gear. That just blew my mind. 2016 has been a good year for pro wrestling fans.
Enjoy the day, people.